High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySpiel.com. And with me today, as always, is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. Ramin, it is Final Four time. We previewed the girls the other day. And now we have the boys. And we have a lot to talk about because tracking the boys' action all season long has been a wild ride, to say the least. Now we are ready for the Final Fours, and let's set up these state championship matchups after we see who rises to the top on Saturday.
It's an exciting time in the state, and I know there are a few Elite Eight games you were surprised about you want to cover. We'll get to that shortly, but once again, just like we did yesterday, let's jump right in with Class 7A, Grayson taking on Norcross.
Oh, yes, this is going to be an interesting one. Now, Grayson, they come out with a 3 seed out of Region 8. Now, they fell behind Shiloh, who got the 2 seed. Newton, who got that 1 seed, and we'll talk about Newton a little later. But Grayson was a trendy pick to get to the Final Four. It was not too difficult of a road, but they were able to handle their business. They beat Brookwood 73-51 to make it to the Final Four. Now, Grayson, they get the tall task of facing off against Norcross, and the whole scenario here is going to end up being, can Grayson hold their own on the glass against Rayshon Hammonds, who's 6'8", going to Georgia, Lance Thomas, 6'9", going to Louisville. Now, Grayson's going to count it. They have two of the best rebounders in the county over there in Gwinnett. They have Kenyon Jackson and Gerald Buncombe. Buncombe moved in this summer. He produces 9 rebounds a game and just under 3 blocks a game. And Kenyon Jackson gives you 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks. So they're going to have to play big. They're going to have to play huge. I talked to Jeffrey Pierce after their win over Brookwood, and he was saying, my big guys are going to have to hit the glass hard. They're going to have to battle. I know he was saying that in years past against Norcross, it's been a struggle against their size. But it feels like Jackson and Buncombe will be up to the task, and they're going to have to play great. Both of them about 6'6", so they're going to be giving up an entry two, but that's going to be important for them to not let Norcross get off. And they're going to have to establish Travis Anderson and Nick Edwards. Anderson averages 21 points per game. Edwards, 12 points per game. Anderson's one of the best scorers left in the Class 7A tournament with his ability to shoot from deep and get to the hole, get to the line, has a nice game to him, a nice steal, only a junior. But he is only about 5'11", 6 foot on a good day. He's going to have to play very well. And now, if you're Norcross, you just beat Pebblebrook. You just got revenge. You beat down Pebblebrook, 82-60. You held Colin Sexton somewhat in check. I mean, he got his buckets. He got his points. But you got the win. And Rayshon Hammonds was huge in that game, 22 points, 15 rebounds. Kyle Sturdman, a sophomore, very mature beyond his years. He's been a little bit of up and down for me personally on the season, but he had a great game at 21 points. And Lance Thomas, I just mentioned him earlier, he had 15 points and 7 rebounds. So the big men came to play. They punished Pebblebrook on the glass, and that's Grayson's biggest fear. So this game's going to come down to, can Grayson win the wars around the bucket? They got to be able to protect their rim and then deny Norcross any second-chance opportunities. Well, at the same time, you got to get Travis Anderson going, Nick Edwards going, but you got to keep an eye on guys like Jordan Goldwire and Davin White. Norcross has pretty much all the pieces. You got JoJo Toppin, you got Brandon Boston, a very talented freshman that's going to see some time for Norcross off the bench. So that's a lot of firepower. And I know Coach Jeff Pierce is going to have a pretty nice game plan for him, and they're going to do the best they can to slow him down.
On the right side, two teams coming off of rather huge victories. Tift County beat Newton by about 9, and they out-rebounded Newton handily, if I remember correctly. And they're going to be taking on McEachern at the University of West Georgia, who just topped off the super team Wheeler.
I was at that Newton game. It was packed out an hour and a half before tip-off, and it was standing room only for the most part. Every seat was filled, and they were stunned. They were kind of out of the game. Ashton Hagen did not have a great game. He had 8 points, kind of seemed out of it. And Tiff County really hit him in the mouth, jumped out on him 23-9 to start the game, and the whole story was rebound. They punished them on the backboards, which is something we talk about. It's very important on the boys' side and the girls' side. If you win those rebounding battles, you're going to have a really good shot. And 6'6", E.J. Horn, going to Virginia Tech, he was just having his way inside. Now, he's not a freakish athlete. He's not, you know, he's not the prettiest player. His jump shot's not that sexy, but he can knock him down. He hit a three in that game, but that's a guy that plays a little old school. He knows his role. He'll sit on the block and he'll dominate. He had 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks. And then you got Rashawn Bateman at 19 points, 6 rebounds. Micah Johnson going to Alabama State. He had 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. So those three really carried the load. And Hurt Newton, they out-rebounded him 39-18. And the Rams, they just didn't have an answer. J.D. Notte carried him in the first half. He had a great game. He finished with over 20 points. Isaiah Miller was kept in check. Darvin Jones hit some late threes to keep it close and respectable, but that was just not enough. And now, McKeacher, they handled Wheeler 75-60 for the second time. They put an end to Wheeler's season, which is a little too early for a team that was ranked second in the entire nation. They can't make the Final Four, so that was very disappointing over there. But the teaching's great. Isaac Okoro, sophomore, he is just a five-star, mega star. He had 27 points and 8 rebounds. Babatunde Akinbola, 6'8", wasn't able to play last year. He moves in. Now he's eligible to play this year. He's been blocking shots at a high clip, 14 points. Sharif Cooper, freshman point guard, 13 points. Brandon Suggs added 11. So very balanced attack right there. And Tip County, they're going to be in trouble if Horn can't produce inside against Akinbola now. Newton didn't have that size. And a lot of the teams that Tip County sees, they don't have that type of size. Berkmar, they beat Berkmar 55-72. Berkmar doesn't have a big man over there in Region 1. There's not too many big men. And now you're seeing a 6'8", great shot blocker. So Horn, he's really going to have to bring his lunch pail and go to work to be able to get some points inside and work the glass against Akinbola. And then they're still going to have to slow down Isaac, of course. It's going to be a tall task for Tip County, but Tip County has proven already that they're not afraid of anybody, and they're going to go out and compete, and they're not going to make it easy for McKeachin if McKeachin's trying to get to the state championship game.
Just a few points to add. In that Newton-Tip County game, you were talking about it being so packed. I read somewhere that the fire marshal actually had to close the doors to the gym after it reached a 2,300-person occupancy.
Yeah, you had to get there early. If you were not there an hour, at least an hour before tip-off, you weren't getting in the building. It was the only show in town, and they showed out. It was a great crowd. Tiff County brought a fantastic crowd. They rooted on their Blue Devils, and Tiff County did not disappoint that three-hour drive or so. They did not disappoint. They brought their A-game, and they really took it to Newton.
And also, on the point of Wheeler, I know you've been getting in some Twitter discussion, so we'll give you a bit more room here than 140 characters on Twitter. What do you have to say in response to all these people who are adding you and saying you shouldn't be so harsh on Wheeler?
I don't know. I don't have much to say. I know back in my day, state championship or bust was the motto at Wheeler. That's a great program, but now I'm here and just making it to the Elite Eight is a standing ovation for him. So I don't know what's going on over there. I thought Mario Mays did a great job as head coach when he took over. I don't know what the future holds over there. But this year did not go as planned with the influx of talent and everything like that. So I'm just looking forward to some great games, this Final Four, a lot of great teams. It's insane to think that Region 2, which is nationally regarded as one of the best regions in the entire country, that's Wheeler, that's Pebblebrook, that's Westlake, the defending state champs, all three of those teams. Nobody from that region, none of them, made the Final Four. And that just proves that GHSA, it's a gauntlet. If you don't care about your national rankings, you're going to have to lace them up and play because all these teams are so good. That's what Georgia High School basketball has become. It doesn't matter what you got. You tip the ball off and everything changes.
Moving down to 6A, South Cobb, 23-7, is going to be taking on Brunswick, 22-8.
Class 6A has been the bracket that has just shattered everybody's expectations. South Cobb, stunning South Paulson, 40-37, an ugly, low-powered, low-offense game. South Paulson was up late with about a minute 30 left and a couple key turnovers serving. Keenan Williams had 12 points. Corey Wilson held the 8. It was an ugly, ugly game, but South Cobb, that is a defensive-minded team. And Daniel Spann did a great job on defense, guarding Keenan Williams. Trevin Wade, the Region 6 player of the year, did just enough. Malu Arizzo, just enough inside as well as 6'8 shot blocker. And then looking at Brunswick, they won 64-54 against Northside Warner Robins, so that was another nice result, eking it out. So now South Cobb versus Brunswick. I mentioned Wade. He's going to have another big game. Orizu, he's going to have to battle with Kamani Dunham. He's going to College of Charleston, 6'8", about 260 pounds. He averages 14 points and 8 rebounds, but they have talent. Coach Turner has talent around the big guy. You got Derek Lampkin, Daquan Humphreys, Marcus Scott. All of those guards are all averaging double figures. The South Cobb's going to really have to come with another great game plan defensively if they want to stop them. I think this game will be low scoring. I know Coach Moultrie is going to preach defense, and the same over there at Brunswick. But that's one that's going to be very interesting to see unfold. Brunswick coming from that coastal region, coming up here, seeing South Cobb, a lot of different styles of play. I think that should be a fun one.
On the right side, number 9, Langston Hughes, will be taking on number 7, Alatoona.
Alatoona, I know the coaching staff has told me, and I agree, they are like that cockroach that just won't go away. They won't die. They're not supposed to be good this year. They were 7-8 this season. They were 7-8, floating in the water over there in Region 6, got beat twice by South Cobb, wasn't finding their footing, couldn't handle pressure. They won 14 straight games. They win the region. They beat South Cobb in the region championship game. And they're just rolling. And they take care of Tri-City 63-54. Before that, they beat Jonesboro. They put out MJ Walker, McDonald's All-American. They make him look bad, 61-56. And now they meet up with Langston Hughes. And Langston Hughes beat Alatoona 62-53 at the Lake City Classic a couple months ago. But this is a different team now, Langston Hughes, if you're looking at them. Khalil Cuffey, who's going to Southeast Missouri State, he decided to quit the team in the region tournament. They lose a Division I guy, but it's addition by subtraction. Other guys are stepping up. Landers Noly had a big game as they stunned Gainesville 72-69 in overtime. Richard Matthews, 12 points against Gainesville. He came into that game averaging less than 4 points per game. And then Derek Cook, 6'4 point guard that does everything, passes, rebounds, plays some good defense. Now, Alatoona, if they're going to want to stop Langston Hughes, you've got to keep an eye on Noly because he can go off at a heartbeat. He can shoot the ball from deep. He's going to get some open looks. I know that zone defense for Alatoona is going to have to be very keen and aware of where he's floating to. Now, Trey Dooms has been playing very well down the stretch. Tyler Jackson had 16 points against Jonesboro, hit some huge threes, carry the load. Mike Johnson, those three guards are really going to have to play well and control that perimeter and not let them get any open looks on offense. And then the rest of the team, the role players, Toby Adeye, Roland Woodens of the world, Chima Ogboys, all those guys have really been playing well inside. They're undersized, 6'4", 6'5", at the best, but they've been giving Coach Marcus Hood some good minutes. And if Alatoona's going to win that game, you got to make sure Noly does not get hot. And if you're Langston Hughes, keep doing what you're doing. You got to handle Alatoona's pressure defense, get the ball in Noly's hands, let him create, and hope that everybody else is up to the task of facing a physical defense and get the job done.
Another interesting little note in the Langston Hughes Gainesville game, there are multiple reports that the student sections had a brawl after the game. Not sure the scope of that, but you talk about student sections traveling and showing out. They definitely...
There was some passionate fans involved in that. I don't know. You would have to be there to see what happened. But I heard there were about 6 cop cars racing in to see what happened. There's differing stories of who started what. He was tripping with them, and they came down and they ripped a sign, and someone gets trampled. So it was a bad situation over there, so hopefully both programs should move on from it. I don't know if any legal action was taken, but it was not a good scene to finish out a great game, an overtime thriller. Gainesville losing, really stunning the state. Langston Hughes, a great win for them. But you hate to see the extracurricular activities roll on after the final buzzer, but it was a great game, and we can leave it at that.
These 6A final games will be played at 4 and 8 p.m. at Fort Valley State, respectively. On to 5A now, where number 3, Miller Grove, will be taking on number 4, Cedar Shoals.
Miller Grove started off the season a little slow, and this was something I was trying to tell people. I don't think anybody was hitting the panic button on the Wolverines or anything like that, which would be crazy. But they had some young guys. A lot of those guys never played big varsity minutes. You're playing behind Altrick Gilbert, a lot of just great players. Josh Jackman, I think he's back in the fold now. Aaron Augustine, who went to Stephen F. Austin. So you were playing behind a lot of big names. And they're starting to get it rolling now because those guys are all sophomores and juniors, and now they have a full season under their belt, seeing big minutes. Josh Jackman, I think he's back healthy. He told me he was supposed to be back healthy. I haven't heard how he's been doing. But just his presence on the bench has really helped guide this team and steer them in the right direction with his leadership. Laswell Chester's first year as a head coach over there at Miller Grove, filling in for some pretty big shoes with Rashawn and White. But Miller Grove and Cedar Shoals are very familiar with each other. They played each other in that Miller Grove Shot Clock League, so they know what each team has. Tay Hardy is, of course, the straw that really kind of stirs drinks for Miller Grove. He gets you 19 points a game, but he plays those passing rings. He gets a lot of weak ups, a lot of runouts, some steals. He averages just under 3 steals a game. So that's something Cedar Shoals has to keep an eye on. Now, Tay Hardy's not always going to be the prettiest 20 points. Sometimes it'll be ugly or he'll start really slow. Then I'll get hot. I think he had a great second half against Riverwood, and that's how they really pulled away and won 59-43. If you let him get one or two baskets in, it starts rolling. But I think the X factor for Miller Grove is Kevin Page, your big junior, 6'7". Last year when I saw him, he was not a difference maker. This year, every single time I see him, he gets better and better and better. He's shown a little better footwork around the rim. He can rebound the ball. He can block a couple shots. A big body that Cedar Shoals is going to have to deal with, and the Jaguars don't have that size. Now, they're going to have Stavion Stevenson, a tight end on the football team. He's about 6'4". He's going to have to be banging down low with Page. He's going to have to bring his hard hat because they do not want to get beat on the glass against Miller Grove and don't let Kevin Page affect the game too much over there. And if you're Cedar Shoals, you got to rely on Flan Fleming going to Charleston Southern. Flan's got to be Flan. He's going to be an all-state performer. He's a great kid. He can score the ball. He's long and lean, and he can get hot. But if he gets going, it's the other guys that have to help out, too. Snipe Hall, A.J. Jones. If those guys get open looks and start hitting the ball, hitting the three ball, that's when Cedar Shoals is at their best. But on defense, they're going to have to make sure they get back on defense because those quick transition buckets are really what sparks Tay Hardy and the rest of the Miller Grove Wolverines.
On the other side of Class 5A, Buford is taking on Fayette County at Columbus State.
Buford just is rolling. 94-72, hammered Warner Robins, which was just as eye-opening as it gets. But Buford, they're playing Fayette County. Fayette County is the last team from the state of Georgia to beat the Wolves, and that was last year. First round of the state playoffs, 69-62. Buford has not lost a game since then, and now they have a chance for a little bit of revenge. And last year in that game, Noah Gurley had 14 points, 5 blocks. Austin A. Smith had 13 points and 12 assists for Fayette County. And those two guys are back this season. So Gurley and A. Smith, huge pieces. Gurley going to Furman. Was a region player of the year. He averaged 18 points per game, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. He's a long shot blocker. Naismith giving you 14 points, 6 assists. And you got guys like Philip Young, 11 points. Josh Dupree, 9 points per game. But a big addition that came in the middle of the season was Kamani Willis, who gives you 9 points a game. He's a floor stretcher, can shoot 3. He got eligible, everything got all cleared up. And he has given them a nice little rest, a nice piece of depth for Fayette County. Tigers have a lot of good guards, and they've got some size on those guards as well. But if you're Buford, you have Marcus Watson, who has just been incredible in his first year in Georgia after moving in from North Carolina. 18 points a game, 9 rebounds a game. But you have the best passer in possibly the entire state in Alex Jones. Just a great floor general, as good as it gets. 11.7 assists a game, those 7 assists. That led Gwinnett County. And if you lead Gwinnett County in anything, that means you're doing something right. So he orchestrates that entire offense. He is so clutch. He hit that game winner against New Hampstead in the second round. He does everything for Coach Teddy Martin. And then you got Donnell Nixon. Do not let him get open from 3. He is automatic. Even though he's 5'7", he gets lost in traffic sometimes. Man, if he gets set, he can bury 3s. Him and Jones are pretty much automatic from the foul line and the clutch. And then you got David Beatty as well, about 6'5". A little inside-outside action to pair with Marcus Watson. The Buford has all the pieces in the world. Fayette County, they feel like they've been getting swept on a little bit. They have a chance to really establish themselves and make some more noise and get to a state title game if they're somehow able to solve the Buford Wolves.
We'll keep it going down onto Class 4A, where an undefeated Upson Lee takes on Henry County, 24-5 on the season.
That's number one Upson Lee versus number two Henry County, and I would love to see this at the state championship game, but they're meeting in the Final Four, and boy, oh boy, I don't know what to tell you, because there is some heavy-duty artillery firepower in this game. And both teams have been, you know, it's hard to tell, especially with Upson Lee. They've had some interesting results. They beat North Clinton in the first round, 73-50. Then they play Stevens County, and it's a close game, 76-71. What is going on? They stuck with Stevens County. Then they're up 30 points on Thompson going into the fourth quarter and blow them away, 70-56. And Mikey Smith, senior guard, probably about 5'10", 5'11", but he is a damn good shooter. If he gets his feet set, he has a career-high 20 points against Thompson and really just shot him out of the ball game. He had a great game. You're looking at Henry County. You got Javon Green, 57 points, and Holiday Hoops giving in a ridiculous win against Langston Hughes. Damian Rosser going to New Orleans, a downhill guard, 6'4", long and lanky. But they really had a struggle. They came back. They were dead in the water against LaGrange. Green banked in a three or hit a three at the buzzer to end the third quarter from deep. That gave them some momentum, and then they come back. Rosser hits two free throws. They win 62-61 at the barn over there in LaGrange. That's a great win for them. Now, how are you going to stop Upson Lee? Ty Fagan, that's the head of the snake right there. He is a superstar. He's a left-handed guard. Not many people know about him yet nationally. That's going to change soon. And if he puts together a great performance against Henry County, if he leads his Upson Lee team to a state final game, there's nowhere to run and hide anymore. You're going to know about him. But he has great help. Zyrie Scott, he's a good little point guard, the babyface assassin over there. He can shoot the ball. He can distribute. But a big battle inside is going to be Trayvon Walker, 6'5", 6'6", defensive end that has some offers from Alabama, only a sophomore. He's a big body. He's going to be banging with Kobe Tate, 6'5", senior over there at Henry County. Tate, he brings you great energy. I love him inside. He plays so hard. He will give you second-chance efforts. I'm going to really want to see what goes down between those two big guys in the paint. If Trayvon gets in foul trouble, Upson Lee might be in some trouble. That would be a bad, bad scenario for them. They got to keep him healthy and keep him in the game. Don't let him get in foul trouble. Depth is always up and down with them. Henry County might have a little more depth. They even have Seth Brown, who's 6'4", 6'5", athletic slasher who can give you some issues on the glass. Upson Lee is going to have to play extremely well. It's going to be a tough game. They can't. If you're Upson Lee, you don't want to see Javon Green get going. That lefty stroke can haunt you. You can get hot from deep. But if you're Henry County, you don't want to see another one. You don't want to see Ty Fagan streaking to the basket because he can control games. And you know Upson Lee is going to bring the entire city of Thomaston over there to Augusta. It is going to be loud. It is going to be a great atmosphere over there. But it's going to come down to defense. Henry County sometimes earlier in the season, they got into too many shootouts. It was 85-84 all these games. Now over this great long winning streak, Coach Rosser, they've really tightened up the defense. They're winning these close games, 62-61, like I mentioned, against LaGrange. They're not playing those run-and-gun games. And I don't really know, who does this up-tempo style favor? Does Henry County want to play an up-tempo style? We know they have forces to do it. Upson Lee, they can do the same thing. But who wins between those two thoroughbreds if they're playing up-and-down basketball? That is a great question, and I'm glad I'm going to be there in person to see how it unfolds.
On the right side of Class 4A, number 5 Sandy Creek taking on number 6 St. Pius.
St. Pius has been the sneaky team that is just winning games. Beat Mary Pershing in that second round, 74-71. Had a nip and tuck game with Carver Columbus, pulled out 64-60. But the guy that has really turned it on for him has been Everett Lane. I hear he's been their leading scorer about three straight games. He's averaging close to 20 points a game in the state tournament. Now, he's usually a second or third option. But Everett Lane, a nice guard, heady guard, can shoot the ball, get to the basket. He's doing a lot of great things over there for Coach Aaron Hawk. And you got Maddie Gonzalo, great point guard, athletic point guard, even though he doesn't have that size. And then Carson Fairmont, a true veteran. They're going to be extremely well coached. I want to see what Maddie Gonzalez does against Cam Miller of Sandy Creek. Now, Miller, he's 5'6", 5'7", comes off the bench for Coach McKissick at Sandy Creek, but he plays great on-ball defense. He's not afraid to kick up some fouls. He gets right in your shorts, and he is all over you like a true gnat. That's going to be a great battle of the little guys just to see who can get past each other. And even on offense, I like Miller's game. He can get into the paint. He can create, flip it to open shooters. But will Sandy Creek's length and athleticism, is that going to bother the Golden Lions? And I know Parr's going to have a great game plan for them. They're going to be very patient. They're going to run their offense with a great defense. But St. Pius is going to have to hit shots. You could say the same thing for Sandy Creek. They're going to have to hit shots because Pius is going to play great defense. And you have Evan Jester inside, 6'8", 19 points, 8 rebounds. Xavier Brewer, 6'7", off the bench, can shoot the 3-ball. TJ Bickerstaff, 6'7", inside-outside game. That's some major length that St. Pius doesn't necessarily have. They have Willis inside who can give you a little bit here and there. With St. Creek's throwing out depth in numbers and long athletes. KJ Wilkins, a very good guard. Jared Godfrey does great things offensively and defensively. I mean, that's going to be tough, but it's going to come down to which team has the more discipline. And I really think this is going to be a toss-up game. Either Sandy Creek is going to just overwhelm St. Pius, or St. Pius is going to hit him in the mouth, and Sandy Creek can be shot. Either way, I think it's going to be a tight game, and it's going to be a very well-coached game.
Now that we're halfway through our classifications here, let's take a quick moratorium from the Final Four previews. Let's get your opinion, Kyle, on what's going on in the Georgia Congress. Two recent nearly identical bills have been proposed to basically dissolve the GHSA and make athletic events under the purview of the Georgia Department of Education. Now, I hear the GHSA has responded with trying to force the resignation of Executive Director Gary Phillips. So what do you think about all this going on with we may not even have a GHSA next year?
Well, a lot of things have to happen. I don't know if it's going to get the votes. I don't know. I think they already voted on a Friday, but I don't know what's going to happen. If they don't get the votes to disband the GHSA, they're calling for Gary Phillips' head, kind of as a sacrifice to say, hey, we're willing to change, which I think that would be a good thing. GHSA, I guess they're trying their best, but their best hasn't very much been good enough. So many black eyes lately. The transfer market has been insane. I know that's tough to really keep an eye on and everything. But the freaking debacle over there making last year, no excuses with the rims being the wrong length, cracks in the floor, making these kids play at a horrible facility, just treating Georgia high school basketball as a redhead stepchild. That needs to change. If Gary Phillips does get the boot, well, we'll see what happens. You're heading into the great unknown with a new president, or even if they do get disbanded, we don't know what it's going to be like. Change sometimes isn't a good thing, but in this case, I mean, I'm willing to roll the dice and see some new blood in there because GHSA, they've done their damage for a while now. We've already seen how they waited forever to announce where these championship games were at. It always feels like one step forward, two steps back, or two steps forward, one step back. They're trying, it feels like, but sometimes trying just isn't good enough. You got to get the job done. And either way, if Phillips goes, if the GHSA is disbanded, it's going to be a new era for Georgia high school sports. And I'm just hoping for the best either way. Whatever happens, happens. I just want the best for the players, the coaches, the athletes, the fans, everybody involved.
It's funny you mentioned the transfer issue going on in the GHSA, as there's two separate, there's a fork in the road as to two separate proposals. In the GHSA, I've heard there is a new proposal to, no matter what type of transfer it is, a player would have to sit out half a year per sport played in a calendar year. Whereas I believe in this new Georgia Congress bill, any transfer would be able to play immediately.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, I heard the same thing. Even if it's a bona fide move, you have to sit out half the season, half the year, something like that. I don't know. It's very interesting. I know transfers have been a big thing. I track them every offseason. I had over 100 this year. It's a part of the game. Every other state has it, but it has been getting a little a little crazy, a little insane. And we've even seen this year, we're talking about the super teams and all the teams with six transfers and a bulk of transfers. But those teams, they're not even playing in the Final Four right now. You could go across all the classifications, just teams wherever with two or three transfers. Not all of those teams are automatically guaranteed to even make it to the final stage. So that's just another testament of how good Georgia high school basketball is. But yes, the transfer market, it is pretty wild out there. And I know a lot of it stems from you-know-what with what goes on in the offseason. Kids want to be kids, play with their friends. It's a whole sticky situation. I'm not a huge fan of transfers, but I wouldn't be one of the people leading the charge to say, I want no transfers. I'm sticking my foot in the ground. We are having no transfers, blah, blah, blah. Just a really tough situation to really patrol over there.
Let's get back into the Final Four previews with our four smallest classifications in the state. Down to 3A, these Final Four games will be played at Armstrong State. Number 3, Pace Academy, will be taking on number 2, Liberty County.
Well, I think the winner of this game is going to go into the state championship as the heavy favorite. And if it's Pace, they pretty much won 2 state titles already. Because they beat Westside Macon 53-50 in double overtime, who was ranked number 1 pretty much the entire season, Westside Macon, with Kevon Moore, Simone Reed, and Trey Buster, all those guards. Pace found a way to win that game. What do they get rewarded with? Oh, hey, you got to play Liberty County just to get to the final game, the state championship game. So that is just a brutal matchup. Liberty County, they ran out on Islands 89-72. Will Richardson had over 40 points again. I mean, everything that it's going to boil down to in this Pace and Liberty County game is Pace's guards, Barrett Baker, Miles Todd, Mark Anthony Somerville, all those guys, are they going to be able to stay in front of Will Richardson and Davion Mitchell? Those guys are just human fast breaks. They're going to just go berserk. They want an up-tempo, fast-paced game, run it down your throat. Does Pace have the guard to stay in front of those guys? That's a hell of a matchup. That is a tough, tough task for all those guys to really stay in front of them. Now, if you get into the half-court game, of course, that's going to favor Pace. You got Wendell Carter and Isaiah Kelly inside. Your pace, you got to feed them the ball, and you got to punish Liberty. Liberty can't, they don't have much size, maybe a 6'4", maybe a 6'5 guy inside. They don't have those 6'8 and 6'10 guys. Pace, if you're the Knights, you got to dump it inside and make them feel your power around the rim. Liberty County, you don't want that. You want to play a full court game, up and down, transition with Will Richardson, Davion Mitchell. Let those guys run free, and that's going to tell you everything. If this game's in the 70s, it's definitely going to favor Liberty County. If this game's in the 50s, it's going to favor Pace. So you want a high-scoring game for Liberty County. If you're Pace, you want a low-scoring game.
On the other side, Morgan County, 24-5 on the season, taking on Calhoun, 23-4.
Calhoun beat Jenkins 65-60 to revenge, or I guess the word would be avenge, last year's loss, their only loss of the season, when Jenkins put them out of the state tournament. I did not expect Calhoun to be back here. They lose Kalen Riley. They lose Jyron Wilson, two of their best players last season. But that is just tells you how good Coach Vince Lason is. He might be the coach of the year over there in Class 3A. And he's probably a freaking front runner for that because he's done a great job. Malik Lawrence had 25 points, 6 rebounds against Jenkins. He really stepped up. Chapin Ryerson, Region 6 Player of the Year, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks per game. He had a little bit of a quiet game there. But who has changed what Calhoun does is a little-known sophomore named Davis Allen, 6'5", averages 6 points and 5 rebounds on the year. He has come out of nowhere, posted 18 points and 8 rebounds against Jenkins. Obviously, the Warriors had no game plan for him. Over his last 4 games, he is averaging 17 points and just under 9 rebounds per game. Davis Allen, smooth around the cup from what I hear. Pair him up with Chapin Ryerson, lifting so much burden off of his shoulders. You have another 6'5 guy now that can score and rebound. He's come out of nowhere and has given Coach Lason and the Yellow Jackets a major lift. So all eyes turn to Davis Allen, the sophomore. He's playing out of his mind right now and has really been the catalyst for Calhoun. Morgan County, Coach Jamon Sims, he's been riding his sophomores, Alec Woodard, Tyron Lawrence. We've got a veteran, Anthony Cooper, riding that trio of guys. Alec Woodard, we know he is a knockdown three-point shooter. If you're Calhoun, you've got to keep an eye on him. Do not let him get any open looks. Lawrence, who transferred in from Monticello, another talented scorer that can do a lot of nice things off the bounce for Coach Sims. I don't know what to expect from this one. I guess Morgan County has to be the favorite, but this newfound Davis Allen spark for Calhoun and just the momentum they're going with. I mean, you beat Jenkins, who was just tearing up the field. You beat them 65-60 over at the Hive. You're clicking right now. But if you're Morgan County, I mean, hey, you stopped Love at 70-49 and made that one not even close. So I don't know what's going to give in this game, but I know it's going to be some great X's and O's. Coach Lason on the sideline.
In AA at GCSU, number 10 Dublin, it will be taking on Swainsboro.
If you like little guards, this is the game for you. Mighty Mouse matchup between Cameron Paldo, 5'9 junior guard, who is back in action now after missing the first two games of state tournament because he was suspended. 27 points per game. They got past Laney, 73-59, really humbled a good Augusta team to make it to the Final Four, so that was a huge win for them. He's going up against Jalen McKinney, a 5'7 junior, 27 points, 6 assists, 4 steals a game, so you got these two Mighty Mouse point guards that can get buckets for their teams. They are the catalyst. Now, Swainsboro, from what I'm hearing, they do not have any depth. I heard they did not substitute once when they came back and beat Chattooga 64-61 at Swainsboro. Now, you know Swainsboro, some crazy stuff happens at Swainsboro now in the state tournament. I guess you could ask Holy Innocence about that. They will let you know. But Swainsboro, they're a tough team, but the depth is scary. It's going to come down to the supporting cast. Now, Swainsboro, they have a supporting cast that puts up big numbers, but they play huge minutes. Justin Harris averages 17.7 rebounds. Jamil Watkins, 17.5 rebounds, 5 assists. And then 6'5". Eddie Roberts has been coming on strong with 12 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks a game, it sounds like. So those guys play very well. If you're Dublin, you got to have some help around Paldo, but they won those two games without him. That's Devin Durham, Torian Holden, Holden Baisden, a lot of nice pieces over there that have been playing well, picked up the slack without their leader, and now they're finding their way into the Final Four, and they have a shot to get to the state championship game. Class 2A. It's been a great run for Dublin, the Fighting Irish, Fighting Mom without their leader, and Paldo's back and 100%.
Josie is also taking on number 1 South Atlanta.
Can Josie hang around with South Atlanta? Josie beat Early County 71-58. If you're looking at South Atlanta, they haven't been overly crushing teams. They beat Butler 82-70. In the second round, that is a familiar opponent for Josie, so they could probably watch some game film, if they watch game film, and see what kind of game plan to use. And then South Carolina 75-69 against Washington County in overtime, which is a scare. I did not see that one, you know, really happening. Josie, they're not going to be afraid of South Atlanta. They've seen a lot of good teams, but this game could come down to the sideline and who's calling the shots. I give a major advantage to Michael Reddick. He is a great coach over there at South Atlanta. He's been through the wars. He's seen things. He's won titles before. He knows what's going on. He's going to have the Hornets ready. Josie, they don't have that size, but they have a balanced offense. Jonathan Butler, Dominique Kearse, John Williams, and then it's going to come down to can Javen Whitehead, only about 6'4", has some muscle to him. Can he battle with 6'7", Region Player of the Year, Tyler Thornton? He posts about 15 points, 10 rebounds a game, and block one or two shots. And then surrounding the origin, South Atlanta has great guards, and these guys have played with each other for just many, many years, and it really shows that they're DeAndre Barnes, Jalen Stiegel, Devontae Pullen, so I really like Frank Bailey, a little football mentality general on the court there, plays very tough, even though he's a small guy. I've been riding South Atlanta. I've been riding this team the entire way through. I mean, Josie, they're a chippy bunch over there. They play super hard. They have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to do whatever it takes to win over there in Augusta. You like to muck things up and get a little down and dirty. South Atlanta's going to have to be ready for that. South Atlanta cannot overlook Josie. Josie's rolling right now, but again, I got to go with my gut. I'm taking South Atlanta. I just think they're so talented. I think it's going to be hard for anybody to stop South Atlanta from winning the state title.
Single A Private will play at the Cobb Civic Center, and a lot of the same teams who got into the girls' Final Four also sending boys' Final Four teams. Number 1 Green Force taking on number 5 St. Francis.
St. Francis, they were down 11-0 to Aquinas to start the game. The Irish punched them in the mouth, and then Trey Gomillion gets in foul trouble. Things start to unravel a little bit. The great athletes over there, great players, start to get loose for St. Francis. DeJuan Odom, Chase Ellison Company, Wallace Tucker, all those guys start making their presence be known. You got Drew Catlett on the sideline. He's a great coach. He's going to match up with anybody intellectually on the sidelines. And they got the job done, 63-48 over Aquinas. And you look at Green Force, 89-55 over Holy Innocents. Eric Cole Smith got hurt in that game. That's a big loss for Holy Innocents. I mean, Green Force, it's just too much. So it's going to come down to, does St. Francis have enough shooting to beat Green Force? Green Force is in that 2-3 zone. There's 7-footers like Yabby Ogden, Victor Ngo going to Memphis. Mo Abdul-Salam, they got all these big guys, Bebe Iola, 6'10". They have all the length in the world. They have a college front line, pretty much actually an NBA front line if you go 6'8", 6'10", 7 foot. You got Ike going to Florida State, anchoring it. Now, they handled St. Francis pretty easily last year in the state title game. Now they're seeing St. Francis in the Final Four. And this is a completely different St. Francis team. You do not have Kobe Simmons out there anymore. We don't have Chance Anderson. You don't have those guys right now. You have the youngsters, like I mentioned, Juan Odom, Chase Ellis, but those guys are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". They're going to have to hit shots. They are going to have to hit shots. Wallace Tucker is going to have to be that veteran rock, Coach Catlett, as a senior point guard. He's going to have to facilitate. He's going to have to shoot some threes. I don't think St. Francis is going to have enough shooting because you're not doing scoring inside on Green Force. Green Force is too big and too mature physically and mentally. You got Justin Forrest running the show, David Quimby matching up at guard, Camden Duggan, just so many pieces for Green Force. I think it's going to be a major uphill battle for St. Francis. But for St. Francis to get to the Final Four with all freshmen and sophomores, that's a hell of a job of them, Catholic, that young group. Don't hang your head, because a lot of teams lose to Green Force. I just think St. Francis is going to have to play outside of their minds to even hang around with Green Force, but you know Catlett's going to have a great game plan for him, but I think Green Force is just way too big. Larry Thompson, he's got those boys all just way too much. I think Green Force takes this one.
The other Final Four matchup in single A private, number 7 Lakeview Academy taking on number 4 Southwest Atlanta Christian, and it should be noted that the seeding here is your seeding, not the power ranking seedings.
Yes, Lakeview Academy, they've had a nice road. They had to go, I think it was double overtime. They rallied. They were down about 13 or 14 to beat Wesleyan's 58-60. But other than that, then they handle Athens Christian, who they beat like a yard dog for years now. There's no one in Region 8 can beat them. So it's just a familiar foe. Beat them 63-55. Now they get tested in a major way with Southwest Atlanta Christian, who beat Northcott Christian 64-53. Now, Southwest Atlanta Christian, they have the athletes, they have the talent, they have the size, they have everything you want. They never really put it all together, but now they have a shot to get past Lakeview and get into a state championship game. It's going to come down to Ken Lakeview. Can they even hang around with DeAndre Bauer? Lakeview doesn't see athletes like this. They just don't in that region. They do not see these great high-major athletes like DeAndre Bauer going to Florida, who gives you 27 points per game. They got the athletes, they got the length. Josh Scott, I'm not sure if he's playing or not. Max Kress hasn't been really updated, but if he's still playing, he's a 6'10 shot blocker. You look at Lakeview, the tallest guy, 6'5". That is going to give him some hard, hard times inside if they want to score. And if he's out there, that is going to be a major issue. But Lakeview, you can rely on your veterans. All these guys, pretty much everybody on that roster is a senior. They've been here before. Not necessarily at the Final Four or seeing teams of this caliber, team that wins a lot of games. They saw McEachern earlier in the season, and they were getting blown out for the most part, but they kicked it pretty respectful, ended up losing about 13 or 15. So they've seen really good teams, to be honest with you. Now, can they get over the hump, though? I really like Coach Cottrell. He's going to have the advantage coaching there. I really like what he does as a head coach. He maximizes his talent. Trey Grover had a big game with Athens Christian. He's going to have to shoot the ball well. Drew and Adam Cottrell, both good shooters. They're going to have to shoot the lights out. They're going to have to hit some threes. Gober is going to have to do his thing as well. The one thing I like about Lakeview, they're a very good free throw shooting team. That'll bode well. But Josh Randolph, he's usually the best athlete on the floor out there for him. He gives him so much energy, rebounding ball, scoring, quick second leap. He's going to have to affect this game. He's going to have to be a positive influence for the Lions. He's going to have to mix it up with Ballard and the rest of Southwest Atlantic Christian, Jonathan King. He's a strong guard. Mono Lavoy has got some length at 6'6". It's going to be an uphill battle for Lakeview, but they have some shooters. They're well coached. Anything can happen, but they're going to have to knock down shots if they want to beat Sac here.
And finally, give us the 1A public breakdown.
Well, Wilkinson County plays Macon County. Now, if you see what happened back in December on the 16th, you would think this game is a freaking joke. Wilkinson County beat them 103-50. They beat Macon County by 53 points earlier in the year. Macon County was without their football players. Trey Brown did not play in that game. That's a guy that gives you 15 points and 8 rebounds per game. He did not play in the game. That's a huge difference maker right there. Macon County had 22 turnovers. I think they're cleaning that up, but they're all the way into the Final Four. Macon County Bulldogs play much better. Clayton Jenkins, remember that name? He's a junior. He's a great player. He averages 22 points per game. He was only held to 12 points on that first meeting, but he's got things going in the right direction, I think. I really like what he brings to the table. But you're going to have to stop Clarence Jackson, who was a Region 7 Player of the Year. Inside, it's going to be Tylen Gravel. He's going to be battling with Taj Reese. Two guys, physical, about 6'5", both of them about 230 pounds or so, something like that, I see on MaxPreps. So they're going to match up big inside. Aaron Jeter III, he's going to have to alleviate pressure from Jackson if Macon County tries to throw some junk defenses on him. And then Craig Kuzon is back from injury. He tore his ACL before the season, but he's really rusty. He's not in great game shape yet. I don't know how much he'll be able to bring. I know he's a big physical presence at 6'7". He'll rebound for it, but I don't know if he has that stamina yet to really affect the game. I know last year in the state title game, he had about 15 rebounds or so, and he was just a monster. So that's someone to keep an eye on as well. If he's fully healthy, then they're rolling for a reason. But Macon County, they're playing great. They handed Troutman their first loss of the year, 67-62. But you're looking at Wilkinson County. They hammered Taylor County, 63-35.
And number one, Calhoun County, taking on number three, Clinch County.
Clinch County, I wouldn't say they came out of nowhere, but they've played a great, great year this year. They have good guards, Jock Holmes, Jared Jones, Tresman Marshall, who is a little man-child out there. I saw him over the summer. He's a football player, plays pretty much every position. So I think he plays a little running back, a little this, a little that. He had 22 points and 14 rebounds against Montgomery County. And a 72-67 win, it looks like, 72 or 62. But that was a close win for them. I think it was a 10-point win, actually. But Clinch County got the job done. He's a physical player, maybe 6'3 or so, nothing crazy in size, but he's a bulldog. Now, if you're Calhoun County, the Region 1 Player of the Year, Rayshon Williams, who people think he could be a Division 1 guy, he's 6'6". Plays on the wing, probably plays a little bit on the block, just a little bit of everything over there for Calhoun. Then you got Ronnie Moore. He was a first-teamer in that region over there as well. I just got to see how it all shakes out. Rashawn Williams, that's the guy you're going to have to stop your Clinch County. But I think Clinch County does have the pieces to be able to hang in there with Calhoun County and give them a game.
Kyle, we've covered another 8 classifications of GHSA basketball. I look forward to the action tomorrow.
It is going to be fabulous. You are going to be where? Fort Valley State?
I'm going to be at 6A, Fort Valley State.
You'll be at 6A, Fort Valley State. I'll be over there in 4A at Augusta State University. I am looking forward to it. I know it's just going to be some more just head-scratch results when it comes down to all these games. Anything goes when it's win or go home at this point. I'm just hoping for some great games. I hope for a little bit of madness. I like a little upset here and there. I like the underdog stories across the each classification. But thank you again for listening to Spielin' and Dealin'. I hope this was a good in-depth overall coverage of the Final Four for each classification. And we will be back soon. We'll have to break down the state championship. And boy, oh boy, we'll try and bring you as much information as possible.
Indeed. We hope you enjoy your Saturday and check back with us for the championships. We're almost there.